Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Saints, and welcome to another special edition of the Wolf Tracker. I want to thank my buddy, Brother Moses Henry Jones, for allowing me to use his broadcast while he is dealing with some coronavirus issues. And I'm just filling in for him. As you know, the Wolf Tracker is retired. But every now and then, I just let the wolves know that I'm back. And I'm back to you my series on Paul the White's son, Bradley Knight. Now, Paul the White claims that her son is a phenom, and I beg to differ. Having said that, I hope that everyone is doing well. I hope that you're, you know, staying at home and doing as the authorities tell you to do, and I hope you have enough toilet paper and enough food and enough video games, enough Bible studies, enough of everything that you need to just hang out with your family and take care of business as this pandemic blows over. I can tell you that I'm very happy that the churches are shut down, these fleecing centers are shut down, but that doesn't stop wolves like Paula White asking for a quarter, asking for $5, asking for $91, asking for the Passover offering. This woman is a scoundrel, and God's going to take care of her very, very shortly. You can take that to the bank. Now, I've been hearing, I've heard through the grapevine, I don't know if any of this is true. I don't know. So don't say the Wolf Tracker said this and you know it's based on any authority. But I heard through the grapevine that Bradley Knight has been crying baby. In fact, someone was driving by Apopka. Someone was in Orlando proper, and they heard this sound coming from Apopka. Now, that's the audio that someone sent me, and they said they saw this greasy-headed 32-year-old walk in the streets of Apopka. And, of course, it was dark, so my friend couldn't tell me who it was. Greasy-headed kid, lanky kid, just crying like a baby. And my friend said to me, "Why don't you leave Bradley Knight alone?" I said, "Well, I'm not doing anything to Bradley Knight. In fact, if he's crying like a spanked baby, he must be crying because his mother kicked him out of the pulpit. So don't go blaming me if Bradley Knight is crying like a spanked little baby." And he said, "But listen to this audio. Isn't this audio heartbreaking? Give the kid a chance, my brother. Don't track him so hard." I said, "Listen, I can't help it. If he wants to put on the big boy pants and get in the big boy arena, he needs to call this show. The number here, Bradley, if you can stop crying, is area code 516-418-5978. Again, for Bradley, the phenom. Again, this is Paula White's son. The number here is 516-418-5978. My friend's telling me, "Listen, give the kid a break. He's new to all this stuff, and you're just making him cry. Listen to him." That doesn't sound to me like a young man crying because, in an apologetic sense, I'm beating him up. I don't think that's crying because he's been cyberbullied. Now, I do know, I do take Bradley to the woodshed every time I do a show, and I give it to them pretty hard. But listen, the little guy deserves it because he's a phenom. See, his mother says he's a phenom. His mother said he's something very, very special. He's becoming a leading voice in America. He's flowing in the spirit. He's anointed of God. He's just full of power. He's just full of revelation. No, lady, your son is full of you know what? Your son is full of nonsense. Is what your son is. That's what he's just full of himself. He's no phenom. No. But let me play that little audio in case you've forgotten that his mother was a bragging on him. And I'm going to tell you, if that was Bradley Knight in the middle of the night, walking through the streets of Apopka, crying like a little infant that he is, it's not my doing. That's his mama's doing. That's his mama's doing. And listen, I don't understand, and I made this point to my friend, I don't understand how I could be cyberbullying a 32-year-old. And not just a 32-year-old, but this guy is supposed to be running circles around me because he's a phenom. This guy is so full of the Holy Ghost and so full of power and so full of revelation that it just amazes me why he won't call the show and put me in my place. Why he won't call the show and give me a spanking on the broadcast. Why he won't go to call the show and pull out his Greek lexicon or his Latin lexicon or his Hebrew lexicon. We can go at it here for a few hours. This is a two-hour show. is scheduled to be 2 hours. It's not going to go 2 hours. It'll go 2 hours and some if Bradley calls in. But the little guy won't call in. And all that crying is not because of me. All that crying is because of his mama. And I'm going to explain that. But here's his mama. Here's his mama in some church down there in South Florida. I'm bragging on him. She's in some wacky church that would have her. And she's telling the girls how wonderful, how special, oh, how anointed, how gifted. Oh, my goodness. This guy is just amazing. I just want to ask Paula that before Bradley was conceived, did an angel appear to her and tell her that she was going to have a phenom of a child? Some woman in the Bible is going to have a special child. There's always an appearance of an angel to make an announcement of the child's birth. There was no angel when I was. There was no angel announcing my birth. No angel. No, and I'm sure there was no angel announcing Bradley's birth. But here's Paula bragging on her son.
What comes out of me is a result of what is going into me. Proverbs 13:20. I was sitting telling the girls today, say, my son, who unlike your sons, he went into a very dark area. But my son today is one of the most profound, powerful preachers.
Her son today is one of the most profound and powerful preachers. Ladies and gentlemen, if you were to hear Bradley Knight in a few seconds, you would start snoring. You would start snoring. You would fall asleep. And I have a little sample. I have a little sample of Bradley doing an outdoor sermon. My goodness. Listen, he even put the mosquitoes to sleep. You know how they have these huge mosquitoes in South Florida or in Orlando? Have you ever been to Orlando? Have you ever been to Disney World? Have you ever been online waiting for a ride and one of those giant mosquitoes just whizzes by you? Oh, they got some giant mosquitoes down there in Orlando. Listen, when Bradley's preaching, the birds fall asleep. The church, and we're talking about this is outside, outdoor preaching. He's outdoor preaching. The people were falling asleep. I heard snoring. The birds are falling. The birds chirping in the trees are starting to fall asleep. The mosquitoes are crash land because they fell asleep. Can you imagine? Here's a mosquito whizzing by Bradley. Here's what Bradley's saying. Gets knocked out, falls asleep, and just crash lands into the grass. That's how boring he is. But Paula wants us to think, oh, my goodness. Oh, he's so anointed. And again, my friend says, lay off the kid. No, I'm not cyberbullying. How could you cyberbully a 32-year-old galoot? Who it was only a few years ago he was still living with mama. How could you cyber bully a guy who has two kids and is married and is a senior pastor of a church? How could you cyber bully someone? Now, I can see you saying that if I was talking about a 12-year-old. I can see if you're saying I'm doing that to a 16-year-old. But this is a 32, 33-year-old galoot. This is a guy who's fathered two children, who is married, and who was anointed and made senior pastor of the church in Apopka. How could I be cyberbullying a man? That's absurd. I told my friend, you're absurd. You're getting as stupid as the charismatics. Here she is again telling us about her son. Here's Paula White. Oh, my goodness. You got to get a load of Bradley. Oh, he's so special. Listen to her describe who Bradley Knight is.
Say, my son, who unlike your sons, he went into a very dark area. But my son today is one of the most profound, powerful preachers. Profound. Revelation like unbelievably.
Yeah, that's why he's using Francis Chan's material. He's such a phenom. He says to the church, we're going to be using Francis Chan's material. Really? You're a phenom? and you're copying someone else's outline? No, that's not a phenom. That's a copycat. That's what that is. Sorry to tell you. No, he's not full of revelation if he's chasing down Francis Chan to get his materials, to teach his materials. No, that's not a phenom. That's not a phenom.
The church moves in the supernatural. I mean, sees, I mean, just, it's a phenom. Proverbs 13:20. I was sitting telling the girls today, say, my son, who, unlike your sons, he went into a very dark area. But my son today is one of the most profound, powerful preachers. Profound revelation, like unbelievably. Pastors of the church moves in the supernatural. I mean, sees, I mean, just, it's a phenom.
Oh, yeah, he's such a phenom, yeah, sure. Yeah, lady, sure, absolutely, yeah. But now, this is what we hear coming out of Apopka. These are the sounds coming from Apopka. That's one serious cry. I got to tell you, that's one serious. And I didn't do that to him. The wolf tracker didn't do that to Bradley Knight. No, he's a phenom. Remember, he's a phenom. He flows in the supernatural. He's mighty in the spirit. All his revelations are beyond belief. Oh, God gives him some tremendous downloads. Sure, yeah, okay. No, the reason why if Bradley Knight's crying, because I don't know if that was him. My friend described him. He was tall, lanky, greasy hair, looked confused, walking the streets crying like a baby. If that was Bradley Knight, it's not because I made him cry. Because again, these shows that I've done three shows on Bradley Knight. This will be number four. These shows that I've done on Bradley Knight is not cyberbullying. I'm sorry. He's a 32-year-old galoot of a man. If you can have babies, if you can impregnate a woman, if you can be a man in that area, you can't be bullied. You can't be bullied. Sorry. Graduated, my friend, into manhood. Act like a man. Stop crying like a little spanked baby. Stop crying. And I didn't do that to you. If he's crying like that, it's because his mama did it to him. And why do I say that? Well, because his mother's been telling everybody he's the senior pastor. Bradley's this and Bradley's that. And she pumped him up and he believed it. And now that she can't be at the White House, Now that she can't be right next to President Trump, right next to the number 45, right next to Mr. Agent Orange, since she can't be next to the president, well, she's back at the Apopka. And what did she do? Bradley, she crowned him senior pastor. She knighted him. She actually did a knighting service where she went like this and like this, and then I knight you, Sir Bradley Knight. You are the senior pastor of this. Then she was on the road telling everybody how he's amazing, how he's taken over the church, how he's bringing down revelation, how God has given him downloads. And then once the coronavirus hits and she has to be back at home, what do you think she did to the phenom? She sat his boring self down. She sat him down. That's why you hear all this crying coming out of Apopka. That's because the little phenom is heartbroken. He's heartbroken. Listen, the only way Bradley's going to get the pulpit back is only two ways. One is if the coronavirus takes out his mother. because she has pre-existing conditions. I would think, and I got to ask a doctor because I really have to ask an expert. But I would think that retardation must be a pre-existing condition. So his mother ranks very high on the retardation scale. So maybe if she gets the coronavirus with the pre-existing condition of retardation, that'll probably take her out. Then he can jump back into the pulpit again. Then he can stop crying. Because he had big plans. Oh, he had big plans. Oh, he was making some big plans. Big plans. Or if this coronavirus blows over, and then she can go back to the White House, then she'll give him the church back. So, but either way, listen, those are the two options I see. Those are the two options. Either his mother goes on tour with John and Journey, and you know they go rock and rolling, and he goes to do some concerts, and Paula White the Octopus latches onto her husband, and when John is gone, turn. Because that's how Paula White, that's the Mississippi way of saying touring, is tour. John's going to go on tour. So when, and again, she's always saying, that's Mississippi. No, that's retarded talk. Tour. So when Jonathan Cain goes on tour and Paula White goes with her husband, Miss Octopus there, she clamps on like an octopus and won't let the guy breathe. Poor guy is 70 years old. What is he going to do at 70? What groupies does a 70-year-old has been have? None. Listen. So that's one option. John goes on tour, his mother latches on, and he'll get the church back. Or the coronavirus blows over, and Paula White gets back to working in that little closet of an office. She has, they stuck Paula White in a closet in the White House. That's where she works at. Where people hang their coats and they put their umbrellas and all that. That's her office. That's Paula White's Faith and Hope Initiative office. Or coronavirus herself and hasta la vista, baby. She's gone. She's history. And then Bradley will get, and that's the best case scenario for Bradley, because that will ensure that his mother never comes back. That will ensure that. So, but I haven't been cyberbullying the little guy. No, if he's a man, if he's having babies, nobody can bully you. In other words, you have to man up. And listen, all I'm asking him to do is to come on the radio and we can duke it out. He's where he's at, I'm where I'm at. It'll be a friendly debate on the radio. But he won't do it because he's hiding under his mother's skirt. That's what he's doing. Crying. Listen to him. Paula, put him in the car seat. Put the 32-year-old galoot in the car, in the baby car seat, and take him a drive around the block. He'll fall asleep. That big doofus in the little Nicholas's car seat, and drive him, drive around Orlando a little bit, and you'll see how he'll knock out. He'll fall asleep. Or even better, put Bradley in Nicholas's playpen. Put Bradley in his son's playpen, and then just play one of Bradley's sermons, and he'll knock out. Because, let me tell you, his sermons will put you to sleep. That's even better. You know, this way you can save on gas. Just put one of his sermons on and let him put himself to sleep. So tonight, I want to talk to you about Bradley and his notion about being... He claims that his church is sacramental. Let's listen to this baloney. Again, remember, this is Bradley Knight. This is the Phenom. And this is Bradley. This is this is what Bradley is saying about baptism. This whole show today is we're going to deal with Bradley's statement that the church is sacramental. So let's deal with that. But in order to lay the foundation for that, I want you to hear Bradley's take on baptism. Now, remember, saints, this is the phenom, so you got to put your thinking caps on, okay? You listen, you got to act. You got to act intelligent. You got to listen. You got to pay attention because Bradley's going to be using some deep terms now. He got a download from God. And if you want to keep pace with Bradley because he's such a genius, pay attention. Pay close attention. Here's Bradley on baptism. And you'll find out. You'll discover how confused this young man is.
When you do a simple act of prophecy like that, when you do it, there's nothing powerful in the ritual itself. It's the willingness to move forward and belief that God sees you. Okay? People who put their faith in ritual are magicians. They're witches. That's what witches do. They put their faith in the material ritual of the world. They believe that the actual, this is the act itself, is going to do something. We're different in that our faith is in God, and what we do is getting his attention constantly, knocking, reminding him of covenant, and we'll do that in all sorts of manners to say, God, this is a reminder of your word that you spoke about our life, and that's the difference. So even today, as we do a loose version of the baptism, it's not about getting every word right and having no bones.
He says, let's do a loose version of baptism. I've never heard of a loose version. There's just baptism. What does that mean, a loose version? That doesn't even make sense. A loose version, which means, a sloppy baptism? Just do it shipshod? To do, a baptism that doesn't make sense? Is that what he mean by loose baptism? Here he is again.
Ritual are magicians. They're witches. That's what witches do. They put their faith in the material ritual of the world. They believe that the actual, this is the act itself, is going to do something. We're different in that our faith is in God, and what we do is getting his attention constantly, knocking, reminding him of covenant, and we'll do that in all sorts of manners to say, God, this is a reminder of your word that you spoke about our life, and that's the difference. So even today, as we do a loose version of the baptism, it's not about getting every word right and having no bumps and making sure that it's perfect. It's about our heart being oriented toward rituals of faith. I remember when we talked about being the temple of God, the temple, Hebrews 11 talks about everything being through faith. Even back then, the rituals of the temple, the rituals of sacrifice, they were all rituals of faith. The difference between then and now is they were limited to a singular location. We are now the living temples, so our rituals of faith are consistent, daily, persistent, renewing us to make sure that our temple's clean, undefiled, so that the presence of God can exist. Does that make sense?
No, none of it makes sense. You're all over the map. Nobody knows what you're talking about. Pretty educated man when it comes to theology. When it comes to the ordinances of the church, I'm well schooled. I've trained ministers on the ordinances of the church. I don't know what you're talking about. You sound like a confused student at chapel. You sound like a confused student at Bible college who has been given 5 minutes to talk at chapel, and you need to take theology 1 all over again. I don't know what this kid is talking about. Some loose form of that, loose form? We don't need to get everything right. What do you mean? Baptism is very simple. You call people to repentance, people repent, and then you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's simple. That's it. What are you talking about, the rituals? What rituals? Baptism is not a ritual. Here he is again. I'm going to play the whole thing. It's only a minute and 21 seconds because he's going to say, do you understand this? And trust me, nobody knows what he's talking about. Here it is again, from the beginning.
When you do a simple act of prophecy like that, when you do it, there's nothing powerful in the ritual itself. It's the willingness to move forward and belief that God sees you. Okay? People who put their faith in ritual are magicians. They're witches. That's what witches do. They put their faith in the material ritual of the world. They believe that the actual, this is the act itself, is going to do something. We're different in that our faith is in God, and what we do is getting his attention constantly, knocking, reminding him of covenant, and we'll do that in all sorts of manners to say, God, this is a reminder of your word that you spoke about our life, and that's the difference. So even today, as we do a loose version of the baptism, it's not about getting every word right and having no bumps and making sure that it's perfect. It's about our heart being oriented toward rituals of faith.
Rituals of faith? There are no rituals of faith. What are you talking about? Rituals of faith? There's just faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It doesn't say without the rituals of faith, it's impossible to please God. It's just without faith. Without faith. Not without the rituals of faith. There's no mention of the rituals of faith. Christ put an end to all rituals. What is this kid talking about?
Temple of God. The temple, Hebrews 11 talks about everything being through faith. Even back then, the rituals of the temple, the rituals of sacrifice, they were all rituals of faith. The difference between then and now is they were limited to a singular location. We are now the living temples, so our rituals of faith are consistent, daily, persistent, renewing us to make sure that our temple's clean, undefiled, so that the presence of God can exist. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
No, nothing. Nothing makes sense. That's just gibberish. If I was to get a transcriber, if we were to get someone to listen to that audio and type it out, we couldn't even follow it then. We couldn't even make sense of what is he saying. If we were to get a transcriber to transcribe that 1 minute and 21 seconds, we would not know what the man is saying. It's complete gibberish. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know? Nobody knows what you're saying. Not even you. Here's more.
We've gotten away from a lot of the importance of that stuff. The importance of dedication as well. One of the things that I did when I started to gain a voice here.
Oh, one of the things that I started to do when I gained a voice here. In other words, in the beginning, his mother wasn't listening to the phenom. In the beginning, his mother just told him, boy, go sit over there in that corner and keep your mouth shut. But he started to gain a voice. Little by little, he started to gain a voice. And when he gained a voice, because now he's getting some special downloads. When he gained a voice, this is what he said to his mama.
I was working with my mother to institute child baptism, which is not very popular. Even back then, the rituals of the temple, the rituals of sacrifice, they were all rituals of faith. The difference between then and now is they were limited to a singular location. We are now the living temples, so our rituals of faith are consistent, daily, persistent, renewing us to make sure that our temple's clean, undefiled, so that the presence of God can exist. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? We've gotten away from a lot of the importance of that stuff. The importance of dedication as well. One of the things that I did when I started to gain a voice here was work with my mother to institute child baptism, which is not very popular in a lot of charismatic or Protestant churches. There's a concept of the age of accountability, which is actually a Catholic doctrine. It's a Catholic doctrine that the Protestant church has kind of inherited, that you have to be 12, 13 or something and be able to speak in order to and confess Christ with your mouth in an articulate way in order to be baptized. And that's not biblical.
No, it's not biblical. It says here, It says here in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist, it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist was preaching to adults. That's who he wasn't preaching to children. John the Baptist wasn't preaching in children's church. John the Baptist was not preaching in a nursery where it was filled with little babies. No, he's preaching in the wilderness. And adults are coming to him in the wilderness. And to those adults, it says here in verse 5 of Matthew 3, and men and women went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Babies cannot confess their sins. Infants cannot confess their sins. Little toddlers cannot confess their sins. You have to be an adult to have sinned, to know what sin is, and to have a repentance that is the standard of the Bible. A repentance that goes along with godly sorrow. Godly sorrow. So what do you mean it's not biblical? I just read you the Bible. I just read the Bible here. Adults, only adults. Only adults were coming to John, confessing their sins and being baptized of him. Let's listen to Bradley again. Remember, now this is the phenom. This is the guy who's way ahead of all of us. This is the guy who keeps asking us if we understand what he's saying.
The importance of dedication as well. One of the things that I did when I started to gain a voice here was work with my mother to institute child baptism, which is not very popular in a lot of charismatic or Protestant churches. There's a concept of the age of accountability, which is actually a Catholic doctrine. It's a Catholic doctrine that the Protestant church has kind of inherited, that you have to be 12, 13 years.
No, Protestant churches didn't inherit anything from Roman Catholicism. We reject it. That's why we're Protestants. We broke away. We broke away. We threw away everything that was given to us by Rome. We threw it away. It was junk. Complete junk. I don't know what Protestant churches you go to, but the Protestant church has not inherited any teaching from Roman Catholicism. You're completely wrong.
To be able to speak in order to and confess Christ with your mouth in an articulate way in order to be baptized. And that's not biblical. There are scripture after scripture shows us, both in Corinthians and on, the power of grace, to the point the earliest Christians were baptized for the dead. They had so much emphasis and belief in the power of God and his grace and mercy, they didn't even think it extended purely to the living. And the reality is when we dedicate our children, we are recognizing an eternal covenant with God, that the grace, regardless of the ickiness of our immediate circumstances or perhaps the lack of salvation in a marriage, we see that grace extends. And it says that you who are saved make your children holy. Paul says otherwise they would not be holy if the unsaved husband or the unsaved wife affected the matter. So what we do when we dedicate children is we eliminate grounds for Satan. This is important. Before I had my children, I bound them to an altar in Ghana. I took off my necklace at Archbishop's, and I put it on the altar. I remember Gideon trying to figure out who put that in the offering. Him and Joel were looking. I don't remember that. And I bound it to the altar, and it was very important to me. And I dedicated my children to come to Christ, as Hannah dedicated Samuel. And the importance of that is recognizing that they don't have an option in where they fit in.
Can you follow this kid? He went to Ghana. He took off a necklace. I guess it was a gold chain. He bound it to the altar. He gave it as an offering in a basket. And he bound his children to God. Where is that in the Bible? Sounds like voodoo to me. Sounds like he went to an African witch doctor and in Ghana and got some voodoo hoodoo. You can't show me that in the Bible. When did any of the saints of old bind their children to an altar with gold or with a necklace. This is crazy. This is crazy talk. This is just crazy. But that's the phenom. That's the one who's getting these special downloads. This is one of the leading voices in the church today. This nut.
Where they fit in God's kingdom. I'm not going to create, there's a true opposition out there, and I'm not going to create the room for the enemy for there to be a coin flip and for them to have to figure it out. If they're going to walk away or go through things, they're going to start from the place of victory and walk out of it. They're going to start in Israel and have to walk into another land. And the reality is we can't let bad ideas, wrong ideas that are really ahistorical and non-biblical influence our thinking when it comes to our children. You speak over them as though they are walking in the fullness of their destiny when they're 6 months, 3 days, 6 years old. When I change their diaper, I proclaim all the things that they're going to do, and by the purpose of God and every biblical thing, I talk about what their eyes see and what their ears hear and what their mouth speaks. And the reality is, when we dedicate our children, we are dedicating them into the church, and when we put oil on them, we say, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit into the day of redemption. The reality is that it'll always have a point to point to and say, God, they don't have an option but to serve you. If they're acting a fool right now, if they're sick right now, if they're failing in school, whatever it is, God, whatever's a part of their destiny that they need to succeed in, I'm looking upon this and remember that I made covenant with you. And through the salvation that you've provided me salvation not only just to myself, but your grace and mercy extends to my bloodline. So I'm going to call upon that. And the only way that we can see that fail is if we forget to do it or deny it or deny the power of it. And so it is a little different to baptize children, but it's vital, and it's one of the most important things. And I am proud to bring that back into the charismatic church.
First of all, he says so much there that needs to be unpacked. Like I said, he's like a speeding car careening against the guardrail on the left, then careening off the guardrail in the right. And the only reason why he hasn't gone off the cliff is because there's guardrails. I mean, he's just loony. And in the background, you can hear his mama saying, "You're right. You're right, son. You're right." And he says, I'm so glad I brought this back to the charismatic church. Of course you're glad you brought it back to the charismatic church, because a church full of Bereans would have thrown you out. You can only do this. You can only do nutty stuff in the charismatic church. You can't do this kind of, you can't talk this kind of gibberish in a church filled with Bereans. They'll laugh at you. They'll show you the door. I'm so glad I brought this back to the charismatic church. What charismatic church? What, the one you got there in Apopka? That's a cult. And your mother's a cult leader. What charismatic church are you talking about? There's no Holy Spirit there. It's devoid of the Spirit. Devoid of any Holy Spirit. I'm so glad I brought it back. Brought what back? Infant baptism? That's what they practice in Rome. Here it is again.
Whatever it is, God, whatever's a part of their destiny that they need to succeed in.
Failing in school, get them a tutor. Well, you think baptism? Listen. Baptism doesn't help anybody get good grades in school. I've never heard of anything so preposterous. You mean to tell me that we just baptized some people and when they went in stupid and when they came out they were geniuses? Is that what baptism does? No. No. This is silly talk. Let's just break it down sentence by sentence, line by line, paragraph by paragraph. This kid is just talking gibberish. That's all he's talking, gibberish. I'm so glad I brought this to the charismatic church. It's the only place where you could bring it. Listen, you can only bring stuff like this to a place like Kenneth Copeland's church or Jesse DuPlantis' church or any of the other crazy churches where anything goes. But in a Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching church, they'll show you the door. And they'll label you a heretic. And they'll tell people to stay away from you. You're a false teacher.
I'm looking upon this and remember that I made covenant with you. And through the salvation that you've provided me salvation not only just to myself, but your grace and mercy extends to my bloodline. So I'm going to call
let me, saints, let me take you to the Peter's epistle, because he claims that he put a necklace on the altar. Okay, let me just go back there. Let me just get that little piece there. Let me take it back, and I want you to hear him. Well, he took a necklace off, obviously of gold, put it in the offering basket. Let's listen to that again.
Our scripture after scripture shows us, both in Corinthians and on, the power of grace, to the point the earliest Christians were baptized for the dead. They had so much emphasis and belief in the power of God and his grace and mercy, they didn't even think it extended purely to the living. And the reality is when we dedicate our children, we are recognizing an eternal covenant with God, that the grace, regardless of the ickiness of our immediate circumstances or perhaps the lack of salvation in a marriage, we see that grace extends. And it says that you who are saved make your children holy. Paul says otherwise they would not be holy if the unsaved husband or the unsaved wife affected the matter. So what we do when we dedicate children is we eliminate grounds for Satan. This is important. Before I had my children, I bound them to an altar in Ghana. I took off my necklace at Archbishop's, and I put it on the altar. I remember Gideon trying to figure out who put that in the offering. Him and Joel were looking at it. I remember that. And I bound it to the altar, and it was very important to me. And I dedicated my children to come to Christ, as Hannah dedicated Samuel. And the importance of that is recognizing that they don't have an option and where they fit in God's kingdom. I'm not going to create, there's a true opposition out there, and I'm not going to create the room for the enemy to there be a coin flip and for them to have to figure it out. If they're going to walk away or go through things, they're going to start from a place of victory and walk out of it. They're going to start in Israel and have to walk into another land. And the reality is we can't let bad ideas, wrong ideas that are really ahistorical and non-biblical influence our thinking when it comes to our children. You speak over them as though they are...
Okay, so you said non-biblical and ahistorical. Okay, show me historically in the Bible where God asked his people to redeem their children with silver and gold. Doesn't Peter say that you were not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb? Putting a gold chain on the altar doesn't redeem your children. That's non-biblical. That's ahistorical. Because, again, in the context of the New Testament, you were not redeemed, Peter says, with silver and gold, but you were redeemed by means of the precious blood of the Lamb. That's the phenom for you.
Over them as though they are walking in the fullness of their destiny when they're 6 months, 3 days, 6 years old. When I change their diaper, I proclaim all the things that they're going to do, and by the purpose of God and every biblical thing, I talk about what their eyes see and what their ears hear and what their mouth speaks. And the reality is when we dedicate our children, we are dedicating them into the church, and when we put oil on them, we say you are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. The reality is that it'll always have a point to point to and say, God, they don't have an option but to serve you. If they're acting a fool right now, if they're sick right now, if they're failing in school, whatever it is, God, whatever is a part of their destiny that they need to succeed in, I'm looking upon this and remember that I made covenant with you. And through the salvation that you've provided me salvation not only just to myself, but your grace and mercy extends to my bloodline. So I'm going to call upon that. And the only way that we can see that fail is if we forget to do it or deny the power of it. And so it is a little different to baptize children, but it's vital, and it's one of the most important things. And I am proud to bring that back into the charismatic church. I'm very, very thankful that God has opened my eyes to the revelation of it. I hope that more and more churches will baptize children at a very early age and seal them with the oil and welcome them to the body of Christ. Because in doing so, there's a point of contact and prayer that we can refer to the covenant of God.
Point of contact. Listen, saints, listen to me. Circumcision in the Old Testament is the sign of initiation into the family of God by circumcision. Hebrew male childs were circumcised on the eighth day, okay? And every not female Hebrews, but male Hebrews were circumcised, okay? Now, How many children did David have? King David. How many children did David have, that male children that he circumcised? How many ended up going to heaven, and how many ended up not making it to heaven despite their circumcision? Could we make a case for Absalom? Do you think Absalom made it to heaven? Do you actually think that David's son, wicked son, Absalom, made it there? Now, wasn't he circumcised? Of course he was circumcised. But you know what? Circumcision doesn't save anyone, because it's a personal decision one makes to follow God when one is an adult. It's the same thing today. You have to make a personal choice. I've dedicated all my children to Christ, but you know what? That's not going to save them. That just means that me and their mama dedicated them to Christ, and that on our end, we're going to do everything possible to rear them up in the admonition of the Lord. But at some point in time, when they get older, they're going to have to make their own decision to follow Christ. And if they don't, they're in trouble. This nonsense about speaking over there. What am I going to speak over there? Do your homework. That's what I'm speaking over their lives. Do your homework so you can graduate high school. Clean your room. Do your chores. Love your mama. Respect your mother. Respect your elders. That's what I'm going to speak over them. This nonsense about we decree and declare. I decree and declare. That's not going to help anybody. Because you don't have the power to decree anything, and you don't have the power to declare anything. Most of what we decree and declare is nonsense. Nonsense. Everyone has to make their own choice to follow God. That's what happened. Listen. Eve dedicated Cain. As soon as he was born, she says, "This child, I got this one from the Lord." She dedicated him. But you know what? Cain gave his heart to the evil one. 1 John chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12. Although the mother and father dedicated their first child, the first man ever born, Cain, was duly dedicated, yet he wound up serving the devil. He made a personal choice to serve the devil. You can dedicate your children, but that is not a guarantee that they're going to wind up in heaven. They have to repent of their sins. And they have to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, plain and simple. All of the, you can bathe the baby in oil. You can give them an oil bath. You can give them a water bath. You can wrap them up in all the garments and all the prayer cloths you want. That's not going to do a hill of beans. But yet this knucklehead wants us to believe, oh, he's doing something. I even took a chain off my neck in Ghana, and I bound my kids to the altar. What does that mean? Sounds like voodoo to me. Sounds like something you would hear from a witch doctor. That's not biblical. Not biblical. All right, here's the last little piece where he asks his mama, "Mom, is that okay? Did I say enough?" And she says, "That's enough, son. Listen to this."
Is that all I need to say on the matter?
Yeah.
Okay. Does that make sense to everybody?
He says, Mama, is that all I need to say on the matter? And she says, yep, that's it. You got 5 minutes. Shut up and go to your little corner. I let you do your little sermonette on Baptist. Oh, he was all over the place, and he was saying nothing. Talking loud, saying nothing. Why doesn't Bradley call the show? Why doesn't Bradley, the number here is 516-418-5978. If I doctored the audio, which I did not, but if you got an audio that's different from this one, can you please play it for us? Because he doesn't know what he's talking about. And he's asking his mama permission. Is that all I need to say on this? Yep, that's it. That's it. Here he is again. Asking his mama permission.
Bloodline. So I'm going to call upon that. And the only way that we can see that fail is if we forget to do it or deny the power of it.
Yeah.
And so it is a little different to baptize children, but it's vital and it's one of the most important things. And I am proud to bring that back into the charismatic church. I'm very, very thankful that God has opened my eyes to the revelation of it. I hope that more and more churches will baptize children at a very early age and seal them with the oil and welcome them to the body of Christ. Because in doing so, there's a point of
You can't welcome anybody into the body of Christ until they repent and they receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. Baby dedication will not make them a member of the body of Christ. That's not the way it happens. Now, that's the way it happens in the Roman Catholic Church. But that's not the way it happens in the Protestant Church, in the real church, in the Lord's Church. It's not the way it happens.
Contact and prayer that we can refer to the covenant of God. Is that all I need to say on the matter?
Yeah.
Okay. Does that make sense to everybody? Anybody have a problem with that? Doesn't matter. So we'll continue to expand these as we do this today. I'm thankful for Gideon, and it will come.
Yeah, they shut him up. That's it. That's all you need to say on the matter. Is that it, Mama? Yep. Shut down. Sit down and shut up. People are starting to fall asleep. The babies are going to drown. The parents are falling asleep. They're going to drop the babies in the water. The babies are going to drown. Shut up. All right. Here's another little audio. This is Bradley telling us how his church is sacramental. And there's a reason why I'm playing these audios. Here's the next one. This is Bradley. Our church is sacramental. Listen to this. And this will tell you where he's going with this.
Especially like the continuation of John 6 and Jesus being the bread of life, because one, here at Story Life, we're sacramental. We believe in the blood and body, and we like to participate that. And two, I think the...
See, he said, here at Story Life, we are sacramental. I want you to listen to that again.
I especially like the continuation of John 6.
Well, we have thunderstorms and the lights went out. And I will be back tomorrow, saints, to continue this. There's no need to continue it. The lights went out. And it's been thundering all night and lightning, and we'll pick this up tomorrow with Bradley being sacramental. God bless you, saints. Have a good night and stay safe.